Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 46, Hidden Depths.
Fluttershy crossed past the trees that lined the grassy path to her house. It was great to be back home. Her sod-roofed cottage waited for her at the end of the small bridge, just as it always did.
Angel, she called out. Angel, I'm home.
The lack of response didn't surprise her. Angel didn't make a lot of noise over anything. The complete silence, however, was greatly disturbing. Though she didn't like the hustle and bustle of a busy city, she enjoyed the coalescing sounds of the small community of woodland animals that shared her home. Right now, not even a twitter or squeak greeted her. A cool spring breeze picked up, rustling through the leaves of nearby trees and gently making their branches sway. Fluttershy had just raised her head slightly to enjoy it when the smell of stagnant salt water and rotting fish nearly knocked her to the ground. Mixing with that foul odor was the smell of smoke and ashes. She retched and spat a few times. The smell was so powerful and offensive that some had clung to her tongue. She forced herself to stand when she realized that it was coming from her house.
Oh, no! No!
She galloped past the small bridge, fighting against the stench as if it was a physical wall pushing her back. She fumbled with the doorknob for a moment before kicking down the door impatiently. The smell of decay and the sheer silence painted a very grim picture. She took a step forward and slipped, sliding side first into the slick, moist floor. Her stomach heaved violently. Only after she blinked away the tears did she notice what she had fallen on. Thick, black slime, the source of the horrid smell, covered the cottage floor. Fluttershy lifted a front hoof closer to her face and shuddered as thick gobs of slime dribbled down. The slime clung to her mane as well, making the long pink strands clump together. All the furniture and bird cages had disappeared. The walls were blackened with scorch marks, and the floor, nearly the entire floor, was gone, leaving only a few feet of wood around the edges of a gigantic hole. She looked down to see where it ended, but only darkness greeted her. The same black slime covered the hole's sides. Wisps of smoke rose, and some traces of heat rose from it. She wanted to fly out of the house, to go outside and search for her friends, yet the hole beckoned her. There was something important down there, something she needed to see. Perhaps all the animals in the house had fallen in. She flapped her wings and descended. Oddly enough, as soon as she made that decision, the smell was less oppressive. The light from the entrance had long since disappeared, but Fluttershy was still descending. If her animal friends had indeed fallen down this hole, they would have died. After a few more minutes, she was no longer sure if she was still going down, just hovering in midair, or had somehow turned around and started ascending. Finally, her hooves touched the ground with a soft crunch of pebbles.
Hello? Hello?
She called out. Fluttershy sighed at the sound of her echo. It was a relief to know that none of her animal friends were stuck down in this deep, dark hole, but it was also a disappointment.
Hello?
Fluttershy froze. That was her voice, but the delay was too long and the tone too different to be an echo. It also sounded quite close. Her front hoof caught on something hard and cold when she stepped forward. The distinct ping of metal echoed in the dark as she righted herself.
Who's down here?
She called out. She suddenly forgot why she decided to fly down this deep, very dark hole.
Who's down here? I know you're not an echo, Fluttershy called out. Who are you?
Whoever, or whatever it was that shared this hole with Fluttershy, didn't answer with words this time. Something that sounded like a very large match being struck echoed from afar. A torch-sized flame appeared nearby. Several more followed, quickly forming an enormous circle around her. The size of it was easily 4 or 5 times the size of the cottage. She had no idea there was such an enormous space underneath the floor. A central flame burst into being directly above her. The light hurt at first. Fluttershy looked down just to avoid looking at the lights directly. She was right. She had trod on something metallic. It was a length of chain big enough to anchor an airship. There were several more joined to it from different directions. They were all converging on her. Fluttershy gasped. A yellow pegasus with a long, flowing pink mane sat several feet away. Even the cutie mark was spot on. The chains were attached to a great metal collar that weighed this pegasus's neck down, forcing her to look up at Fluttershy. Her fore and hind legs were shackled together, another band of metal wrapped around her torso. This one also had enormous chains attached to it.
How?
That filthy star swirl bastard lied, the other pegasus snarled. He said the words would help. All they did was call out that light.
She strained violently against her collar just to lift her head an inch.
That wretched light burned right through the ceiling. It took so long to put that ceiling up.
Hello?
Fluttershy said. Despite her trembling hooves, she took a step towards her cursing reflection.
Sorry.
The other Pegasus, the other Fluttershy, as Fluttershy decided to see her, sighed and lowered her head.
Didn't mean to be seen like this. The words were supposed to help. Thought they'd burn this place out completely, not expose it.
Why are you chained up like this? Fluttershy asked.
Protection. And all the animals in the house?
The other Fluttershy scowled.
The ungrateful little shits ran when they caught a whiff of this place, just like those wretches in the royal garden.
The scowl lessened, and the snarling tone softened.
Don't worry, she said. They'll come crawling back when they remember that they can't feed themselves.
That's a mean thing to say about them, Fluttershy said.
The other Fluttershy snorted and grinned.
Mean, but true, she said. Broke their legs so they can keep using our crutches.
That's not true.
The other Fluttershy winced. She lowered her gaze and let the weight of all her bonds drag her to the ground.
Why did you come here? She asked.
I don't know, Fluttershy replied. I didn't even know what was down here. What happened here? Who are you? Why do you look like me?
Light happened. Burned right through the ceiling. Nearly broke these bonds, too.
Fluttershy stared at what could easily be her reflection. Even the voice was the same. This other Fluttershy was talking about her bonds breaking as if it was a bad thing.
Are you Law Chorus? She asked.
Yes, I am Law Chorus, leader of the Wendigos. I've been in here all your life.
The other Fluttershy's gaze was steadfast and determined. Fluttershy wanted to believe those words, but the gaze was too steadfast, too determined.
You're lying, she said. You're not a Wendigo.
There was no answer. The steadfast gaze faltered, and Fluttershy knew she was right.
Then who are you?
Again, there was only silence. Fluttershy walked over to a band of metal around the other Fluttershy's torso.
You're not some evil Wendigo. I'm letting you out of those nasty chains.
The other Fluttershy tried to move away, but the chains held her fast. She strained again. The links scraped loudly against each other, but she barely moved an inch.
Bad idea, she grunted.
Why is that?
Fluttershy asked. She didn't understand why any pony would want to stay chained up.
That light messed up the arrangement. It didn't just melt through the ceiling, it weakened these bonds. If they break, I'll be out for good. I can't stuff you in here when I'm out, so we'll both just be out.
The other Fluttershy looked about to say more, but it was Twilight Sparkle's loud booming voice that filled the place. The voice sounded like it was coming from everywhere at once.
Fluttershy, come on, it's time to go.
Fluttershy's vision blurred, and the ground beneath her shook. The chains ground loudly again, and a hoof touched her shoulder.
Listen, the other Fluttershy said. You can't break these chains. Not anymore. If you do, you'll...
Fluttershy didn't hear the rest. Something was shaking her back and forth.
Fluttershy!
Fluttershy awoke to Twilight Sparkle, giving her a vigorous shake. She was back in their shared quarters. She didn't remember going here. Then again, she didn't remember anything after the horrible burning in her chest.
What happened?
She asked. Twilight frowned and looked over her shoulder. Blue Moon just several feet away. The rest of her friends were there as well.
Apparently a lot of things involving a thorn and imprisoned Alicorn in the power of Oceanus,
Twilight said in a low tone. Blue Moon moved closer.
Are you feeling better now, Fluttershy?
He asked.
Drop the concerned act,
Applejack said. She planted herself squarely between Blue Moon and Fluttershy.
You've got a lot of nerve trying to hurt Fluttershy just because she trusted you.
I did what I could to help her, Blue Moon said in a steely tone. The results are dubious, but I stand by my decision. It was better than doing nothing. Applejack looked ready to lunge. Fluttershy rose to say something, but some pony else stepped in first.
Applejack, wait!
Rainbow Dash said. Whenever Pony looked at her, she turned her gaze downwards and scratched her head.
I kinda sorta believe him.
Really?
Applejack asked.
Yeah.
Rainbow looked at Applejack with more determination.
Think about it. The other thorns are staying out of their way so we can take care of this gravitas problem. Why would their old captain try to hurt us now?
Behind Rainbow, Pinky nodded vigorously.
Well, that's sorta true, Applejack said.
Her eyes narrowed.
This isn't because you got cozy with one of his friends now, is it?
The determined look on Rainbow's face turned into embarrassment and outrage.
I did not get cozy with Longstride, she said. We barely even slept.
A sharp, scandalized gasp from Rarity brought her up short.
Wait, I didn't mean... Focus, girls, Twilight said.
She turned her attention back to Fluttershy.
How are you feeling? Are you hurt? Can you come with us to Skymere Lake?
Twilight Sparkle was asking questions, but Fluttershy doubted if any answer besides yes would be acceptable. She was glad that she did feel strong enough to go. She wasn't going to stand in the sidelines again while her friends headed straight into danger.
I can, she said.
Twilight smiled.
Good. Come on, the princesses are waiting for us.
Fluttershy put on her winter outfit and followed her friends out. As she passed Blue Moon, she smiled and dipped her head.
Thanks for your help.
I've done nothing, Blue Moon said. He looked straight ahead, even as she passed him. The real effort will come from you, Fluttershy. All of them trotted towards the Chamber of Elements, where the two princesses were waiting. The trip was quick and silent. Fluttershy was afraid that animosity was what kept them quiet, but she didn't feel anything like when Applejack and Rainbow were fighting. It wasn't animosity that silenced them. It was simply fear. She could understand that. There was something else. Applejack was looking around apprehensively. Twilight had noticed, too. She glanced towards Applejack and finally broke the silence.
Looking for Vanguard Clash?
I know he ain't coming along, Applejack said softly. I just wanted to see him before we head off.
Oh, look who's getting cozy now, Rainbow Dash said.
This is different, Applejack snapped. You didn't shoot my cutie mark or smack my face.
Rainbow looked ready to retort, but she stopped when the doors to the Chamber of Harmony opened. Princess Celestia and Princess Luna were not wearing their crowns, nor their torques today. Instead, elegant golden plates covered Celestia from her neck down. Each one from the large ones that protected her chest and torso to the smaller, overlapping ones around her neck and legs were shaped like a fine ivy leaf. Her golden shoes were thicker, heavier-looking, and blade-shaped. Luna was adorned in a similar manner, only hers were silver.
Those are...
Rarity's voice trailed off. She swallowed as if trying to get enough breath to finish the sentence.
Those are beautiful.
I had hoped to never find the need to wear these again, Celestia said. But there's more fighting to be done. I see now that there will always be more fighting to be done.
Her gaze swept over all of them.
Is every pony ready?
All six nodded.
The barding helps, Luna said. I wish we had our regalia with us, though.
Celestia's face hardened into a frown.
It was Father's decree that took them away, she said. Only Father's decree can restore them to us.
She tapped the ground with a hoof, then raised her head slightly. Her horn glowed with a soft, golden light. Beneath them, a circle of inscribed magical symbols began to glow in resonance. Twilight sidled directly over to Luna.
Is it all right for her to keep casting spells like this? She whispered. I know she got some of her magic back, but...
Luna's horn was glowing as well when she replied in an equally hushed tone.
Don't worry, she said. The array is my sister's, but I'll be supplying the bulk of the magical energy. Even a teleportation circle won't cost us too much if this much time is placed into casting it.
Twilight nodded and sidled back towards the rest of her friends. There was a flash of light, then the sight of the Chamber of Elements disappeared. It didn't take long for Fluttershy to recover from the blinding flash and the disorientation of coming out of a teleportation spell. After going through several, she was starting to get used to it. The white walls of the Chamber of Elements had been replaced by a wide-open space of the outdoors. Cold morning air filled her lungs and a chilly winter breeze blew through her mane. The fresh-fallen snow crunched underneath their hooves. The untamed wilderness was disturbing. She expected some kind of hive, the sort the changelings tried to turn Canterlot into. All around them were bare trees and bushes, snow-covered boulders scattered around the landscape. There wasn't a single trace of anything to show that this was changeling territory. By the lake was a set of buildings. That must be Gravitas. This Alicorn came here in a few days and now made it appear as if he had always been the one who had occupied the place. Nothing deserved this kind of extermination. Not ponies, not changelings.
About time you got here.
It was easy to recognize Prince Tirado's deep and powerful voice, in the same way it was easy to recognize a nearby earthquake. It wasn't hard to miss the sight of him approaching them either. The blazing, deep red fire that was his mane looked inviting given the cold, and his dark gray barding made him look like a great smudge of soot against the nearly pure white background. He showed an approving smile when he laid his eyes on the two princesses.
It's been a long time since I've seen the two of you in those, he said. I always did think you're at your most beautiful right before battle.
Honestly, big brother, Luna said. The slight fluster in her tone was unmistakable. We're going to a fight, not a ball.
Well, this is my type of ball,
Tirado said, his grin widening. Tirado, where is Gravitas and what is he up to? The cold sharpness in Celestia's tone cut through the air like a knife, her expressionless gaze focused on Tirado. Whatever banter there was in Tirado's voice disappeared.
He's turned that tent he set up earlier into a small fortress.
He pointed towards a walled structure that nearly encircled the entire lake.
Say what you will about his genocidal paranoia. He's pretty quick when it comes to digging in.
Celestia's eyes narrowed at the sight of the building. Gravitas is a powerful stallion. If I challenge him to a fight, he will abandon his walls and his allies for the chance.
He's also a powerful stallion who has defeated several handmaidens of Oceanus. At your full strength, he's a problem. As you are now, he'll crush you like an insect.
Every pony froze at the soft, low-pitched voice. Black Rose herself walked towards them, smiling as if she was receiving applause for her entrance.
It feels so invigorating to be fighting with my beloved, even if it's just for this battle, she said.
Twilight dropped into a low stance, her horn already glowing. Give the princess's power back, she growled.
We've been over this, Twilight Sparkle,
Black Rose said.
I suggest you get on the same page as the rest of us, or you will cost us this battle.
She looked to Princess Celestia.
Forgive my interruption. I doubt that you actually plan on just fighting one of the Eternal Herd's greatest generals in single combat. Is it true that the animosity between the two of you can be to our advantage?
Gravitas sent some pony after you,
Tirado said.
What happened with that one?
Black Rose gave a light, dismissive snort.
His arrival was expected. The fight was planned out, and his defeat was inevitable. The smell was an unpleasant surprise. Gravitas either has too much confidence in his troops, or he has too much scorn for the ability of mortals. In either case, it's one more flaw to our advantage.
There are four of us along with the elements of harmony, Luna said. Shouldn't the numbers be on our side if we face them head-on? Luna asked.
They will, Black Rose said. And I would recommend a full-on assault. That is, if no pony minds casualties. We may overpower Gravitas head-on, but he isn't experienced in powerful Alicorn. He's not going down without taking some pony with him.
There was silence after that. Of course they would mind casualties.
Clearly that is not the path we will take then. If I may, I do have a plan.
Of course you do, Celestia said. Black Rose's smile widened, and she dipped her head slightly.
Gravitas specializes in defensive warfare. He will prove difficult to engage now that he's dug in like this. When he realizes that the soldiers he sent out have all failed, he will prove even more cautious. A challenge from Princess Celestia will be an obvious trap. To draw him out, we must use what he fears most.
The power of Oceanus and mortal hooves,
Tirado said.
That would piss him off. He's that scared of the firstborn.
And what would it take to show that? Luna asked Black Rose. Let me guess, giving you the foul weapon of the Crystal Grave.
Certainly that would be beneficial for me and the current plan, Black Rose said.
The princesses were already shaking their heads.
Wait, Fluttershy said. What about the power of Lachorus the Wendigo? He wouldn't like that, would he?
An intrigued look crossed Black Rose's face.
Not at all, she said. The Wendigos were powerful agents of Oceanus's will. Seeing their power will certainly alarm him.
If you break these chains again... Fluttershy shook her head. This was a good chance to help her friends. If fighting broke out, she may not be able to do anything against Gravitas. If she could help here, she might make the difference.
If I can somehow use the stair, then Gravitas will come out.
Twilight put a hoof on Fluttershy's shoulder.
Fluttershy, that would put you directly in the path of an angry Alicorn. I know you want to help out, dear,
Rarity added,
but there has to be some other way. I can do this,
Fluttershy said. Determination came more easily now that she had an idea of what she could do. Still, what she had heard just earlier from that other Fluttershy left her full of doubts. She wasn't even sure if she could get her ability to come on when she needed it. All she knew was that she had to try.
I'll be fine. I know that all of you can get him when he comes after me.
It does sound better than giving Black Rose more power,
Tirado said.
I'll protect her from Gravitas.
Celestia looked at Fluttershy worriedly, then nodded.
It's risky, she said. I will count on you.
My brother.
All right, then,
Black Rose said.
Let's do this.